Radio with the community at heart. This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Did you have a good day with Grandpa yesterday?
Yeah, we went to the Shipwreck Centre, a maritime museum with Arrowton Barnes. It was amazing. They had loads of things found deep under the sea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like gold and silver coins, old diving suits, and a real mermaid. I even did a treasure hunt and got a prize.
That sounds great. Did Grandpa have fun?
He loved it. And he loved the free parking.
That sounds like Grandpa.
The Shipwreck Centre and Maritime Museum, a real flavour of the maritime world. For more, go to shipwreckcentre.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Vectis Movies. Yes, the movie review show on Vectis Radio that is worried that there was no weather break. What happened there? That was just kind of weird. I was just like expecting there to be a weather break. Nothing happened. But anyway, the Shipwreck Centre. If you go along, free parking. Grandpa loves it. Get to the Shipwreck Centre.
Remarkably interesting.
Yeah. Well, my name is Tosin, and I will be your host for the next hour as we're talking about the filmic goodness that is available for your eyeballs and eardrums at the cinemas across the island. With me, you've already heard her, Sharon.
Hello.
And Sean.
Hello there.
Now, we have had a break. We've had a week-long break in which I was in Nigeria making a documentary about kids with congenital heart defects getting free heart surgery. So I've spent bits of the last week in a operating theater filming kids with their chests open.
Whoa.
And like seeing their heart still beating within the chest.
It's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. It is freaky. It is disgusting. And it is awe-inspiring all at the same time. It is like, it's just like, you're like, oh my God, that's like miraculous. But what have you guys been doing? What did you guys do with your week off?
Well, I had a week off work as well. So as it was a bit rainy, I took full advantage of it being rainy and did nothing but sort of read and lounge about.
Read and lounge about?
Yeah. It's my perfect holiday, is at home, reading and lounging about.
Well, that makes three of us then, because with my week off, I basically went over to visit my mum and also to get my car MOT'd, which took about 3 days because it was booked in and it wasn't booked in and they couldn't do the work. But anyway, I did lots of gardening, believe it or not. I cleared a load of weeds from the borders, cut some hedges, cut some lawns.
Oh yeah, mum's place.
Just did, yeah, my mum's place. Just like, you know, just played the good son, got fed incredibly well, and I'd make cakes, you know, scrape the bowl like you did when you was a kid, the cake mix. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah,
well, I did that all the time.
That was like the favourite bit. Oh, save me that.
We used to fight over the bowl.
Yeah, who didn't? I mean, you must be a crazy child if you didn't do that.
And the weather was nice as well, so I spent a lot of time sat out in the garden, you know, and sort of, well, eat out in the garden as well, which was rather good. So a nice relaxed week really for me.
All right, cool, good stuff. Now this week the original plan was that we were going to have an Island Comic Con special, because we were going to have someone from Island Comic Con come over and they were going to talk through films that have been released that are sort of like Island Comic Con and tell us a little bit about what Island Comic Con is. And unfortunately, the person who was supposed to do that wisely had their wisdom teeth taken out yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you see, now that's the thing. I've still got my wisdom teeth. They never caused me any problems. So,
same here.
Yeah, I think I'm fine at my age. I think I don't need to take them out.
Famous last words.
I know. Oh, I think I'm fine. Next week, I'm fine. I'm a really, really late developer. Next week, Tosin can't talk because he had his wisdom teeth taken out.
It's one of those weird things. I don't ever hear women having their wisdom teeth. Do women have wisdom teeth?
This was a woman who was supposed to come in and had her wisdom teeth taken out.
That answers that question. Thank you.
You learn everything.
She was going to come in and she was going to talk to us a little bit about Island Comic Con. And because now Comic Cons are this thing that have become massive and they've become huge, and they're like, they kind of almost rule the film industry at the moment, because there's the big Comic Con in San Diego, which started off as a small thing with people who had, let's be honest, geeky interests. So it's like, if something was of interest to geeks, that's what it was going to be at Comic-Con, because comics were not cool.
No.
We're looking back to when this started. Comic-Con must have been going for over 20 years now or something like that. So even in the early 90s, comics were not cool. If you sort of read Superman and everything like that, if people were like, all that kind of stuff, but they were not the kind of thing that the cool jock at school would admit to liking or anything like that, because they just... But it seems like now one of my friends who, because we were the geeks when we were growing up, he kind of almost sort of says, our time has come.
Yeah. The day of the geek.
Yeah, the day of the geek, because he says, for instance, Game of Thrones. He says, he was talking about Game of Thrones, and he said, I don't want to give too much of a spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen, isn't up to date with Game of Thrones, but he says, look, the greatest, the most watched TV show in the world right now has dragons in it, has dragons that play a massive part of the storyline.
Undead and sorts of...
And has the fairies and all that kind of stuff, and you go wizards and all...
Giants.
And he's like, this is the stuff that we got laughed at for when we were kids. And that's the kind of stuff that I think Comic-Con, I don't think it's bad to say, it's essentially a celebration of everything geeky. And it's become such a big thing, such a big business, so much so that now, when you come to the summer blockbuster season, when it used to be action movies, and then in the 80s it was all big kind of like, you know, muscle men walking around blowing up Russians
action films.
Kind of, that was what the summer blockbuster season was, but now there's a change to where it's pretty much the superhero movie,
superheroes and kaiju movies and robot movies.
Yeah, you might get a sci-fi in there or fantasy like Lord of the Rings that pops up its head. But essentially, all the kind of things that are geeky are now big business.
They're now mainstream,
They're now mainstream, and they're now taking over the film landscape. You're going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say a couple of things, really. A friend of mine, Pete, he's not really a geek, but he went up with his nephew and his nephew's parents, or his sister and brother-in-law.
Yep.
And he said he went up to the recent one in London, I think, maybe last weekend. And he didn't really know nothing about it. And he said he said it is absolutely huge. They got huge. It was massive. He said, he said, I quite enjoyed it because I just like looking at all the costumes and that, you know. And
He said, because you have like cosplay areas, don't you, where people can dress up as their favourite characters.
But he said, everybody, you had all these, Japanese characters and superhero characters, Wonder Woman. He said he went and sat outside because the weather was lovely, and like Wonder Woman and I can't remember the other one, like She-Ra or something like that, come and sat down and started chatting with him, you know. And he said he had a really, really enjoyable time.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and I'll have to show you the photo later, is I went up with sisters and we were clearing out a garage, and I found this crate of my nephew's toys. Which is like huge, of Star Wars figures, Biker Mice from Mars figures, Power Ranger figures, Batman figures. And I'll show you the picture later, and I set them all up, talk about being geeky, I set them all up in my sister's back garden. I set it up to see what was there. And so it was amazing, really. I'm going to ask him what he wants to do with them, because I think they're quite collectible, aren't they? I mean, these weren't in particularly good condition, and because obviously they'd been played with, which is what originally toys are meant to be played with. But now I think people collect them, keep them in the boxes.
They keep them in the boxes because... I've been watching a documentary series on Netflix called The Toys That Made Us. And essentially they go through the toys that were big, and usually in the 80s, and there's four episodes, one on Star Wars toys, one on He-Man toys, one on G.I. Joe, one on Barbie. And you see, these people have houses and they have basements that are pretty much museums to these toys.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're pretty much... Was that a phone or something?
That was me, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I do apologize.
And they have like these big, massive things that are just pretty much shrines to all this. What are you talking about? And they just keep them because people have such a deep affinity and love for these things. And that's what makes Comic-Con happen. And Island Con, I'm really impressed because they did this last year. And they did it in Northwood House in Cowes. And they thought, we're just going to do it there. We're going to see what happens. And I think they had more people coming through the doors that they knew what to do with. There were people coming up from the mainland to come see the to come watch it. They had Manu Bennett, who came over.
He was from Spartacus. I know him from Spartacus, but a lot of people know him from The Arrow.
Yep, he was in Arrow.
Yeah.
He was, essentially, he's been in a lot of geek-friendly stuff. He was in The Hobbits.
He was.
Yeah, I think he was Borg.
He was an orc.
He was an orc. Yeah, sort of almost albino one with the scratches on his cheeks.
Will he be coming to this Comic Con?
He's not going to come this year.
But isn't someone from the Lord of the Rings series coming?
Yes,
Sean Astin.
Sean Astin. We've got Sean Astin, Samwise Gamgee.
And I was talking to our friend Jonathan, and he said that most of the cast of American Pie are coming.
Yeah, yeah. So the thing is, I'm on the website right now, and I'm looking at who they've got lined up. It's actually a really impressive lineup of people coming to the island this time round. And these are people, okay, you might think you've tuned into Vectis movies. And this is because these people have to do with movies and have to do with... So you have Sean Astin, obviously, I think, from Lord of the Rings. And the guy is pretty big. You have the lady who was playing Nadia in the American Pie movies, and men of a certain age will remember Nadia. Her name's Shannon Elizabeth. You have the guy who played the Shermanator, who was the ginger guy who would walk around telling everybody how, like, you know, about tales of his sexual prowess and all that kind of stuff.
Is this American Pie?
This is American Pie.
I've not seen American Pie.
You haven't seen American Pie?
No, I haven't. It's very 80s, isn't it? It's very 80s.
No.
Is it 80s?
American Pie is noughties.
Was it noughties?
Yeah, American Pie is definitely noughties. Uh-huh. Well, the first one was late 90s, early noughties, but it carried on into the noughties. I know American Pie 2 was definitely... No.
There was quite a few of those sort of movies came out, like Animal House and all those. That never really grabbed me. Those as movies, really.
So. Yeah. Animal House was the 80s, and American Pie was like, you know, was kind of like bringing out the sort of Animal House thing again. Yeah. That sort of teenage comedies, and there were a lot of things that came on, and there was like, oh, teenage sex comedies after that. There was Road Trip and all, but American Pie was one that started all those ones off. So I think for a certain group of people, American Pie has a special place in the heart.
Yes, they have affection for it.
Yeah, we have.
And nostalgia for it.
Have you seen American Pie?
No, I haven't.
Okay, we have, and Sean, I think this one, you might, I'm not sure how you feel about this, but you might like this, Sylvester McCoy.
Sylvester McCoy.
The eighth doctor?
It was the late 80s doctor, that's what I know. He's coming over. We have the guy who plays Neelix from Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, yeah, right, I used to like them.
Yeah, he's coming in. And then we have Kwan, who played Short Round in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and Data in The Goonies.
Oh.
Yeah, he's coming in as well. You have a couple of people you were talking about cosplayers.
Yes.
Cosplayers, there's a lady who is very, very well known as a cosplayer. She's coming in. You have Joe Pantoliano. Now, you might not know the name, but I guarantee you would know the face. You guys have seen The Matrix, right?
Oh, yes.
It's Kansas is going. is that the guy?
Cypher. The guy who plays Cypher.
That's the one who sort of plugs him in, isn't he?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That one who plugs him in goes, because Kansas is going bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
he's coming around. There's a guy called, I can't remember his name. so you're going to go?
Mate of mine, well, Joe bought me a ticket for my birthday, so it looks like I'm going. So I should be going.
It looks like it's going to be good. I mean, this year around is going to be at the Cowles Enterprise College, because I think they needed a bigger venue after last year.
Yeah.
And I just think that they've done a really good job getting this lineup together. Oh, and Biling. Biling, who, has anybody seen Crank 2?
Yes.
She was in Crank 2. She was kind of like the only way I can say it is she was the crazy Southeast Asian one in Crank 2.
Okay.
Yeah, she's also been in, like, she's been in a whole bunch of stuff. She was in The Crow, the Brandon Lee version, and everything like that. So it's a pretty impressive lineup coming to the island. I think it's going to bring people in. I think they wanted to make it a destination so people come over to the island, see what the island has to offer. And I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think so. I think it will be. You going to go, Sharon?
I haven't decided yet. But it sounds intriguing. It certainly sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by it last year, and I did quiz people about it who went, saying, "Right, okay, what exactly do you do?" And
so it's like, no, justify yourself. Give me a reason.
Yes. So I did quiz them, and I have spoken to. I've got friends who've been to actually the San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, are they doing it in the same way? You know, do you have to pay for the audience things? And because in San Diego, people find you get a basic ticket which lets you through the door.
Yeah.
And then if you want to watch any of the panels, you know, where you often see YouTube clips where you've got the whole cast of like The Walking Dead, the whole cast of, you know,
Avengers,
but you have to pay separately for those events, and then you have to pay separately if you want to have someone's autographed, and you have to pay someone for the picture taken. So if you just go and you have your basic ticket, the chances of you actually seeing anyone famous are quite remote.
Well,
Though saying that, my friend, when she went, she did actually see Jason Momoa, who everyone knows as Khal Drogo and Aquaman.
She was pleased with that, wasn't she?
She was very pleased with that because he walked by and she was just like,
I bet you would be pleased with that as well, wouldn't you?
But yeah, he just walked by because he was going from one place to another. But so he did walk through one of the public areas and everyone went crazy.
Yeah, but I think that's part of the joys of something like a Comic Con, where you have these film stars who walk by and you're just kind of like, oh my God, is that? So I think, but I'm just impressed with what they've done with this.
But it sounds like it's going to be good. And I think the Island Con last year was definitely more accessible. I think they had people I know went to like the Power Rangers panel, they weren't fans. They just thought it was interesting, and they thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, we've got Power Rangers. We have a whole bunch of Power Rangers coming this time around from the original American run of Power Rangers. And I know there's, I personally never liked the Power Rangers, but I know there's a certain group of people. Like, I told my wife about this because I made a video about Island Con when they did the May the 4th, where they had a whole bunch of Star Wars characters on the red funnel. And when I showed it to my wife, and the lady who was speaking on that marina said, oh, we got Bulk and Skulk from the Power Rangers coming. And my wife was like, oh my God, Bulk and Skulk! And I was like, what?
Don't know what that means.
But a certain group of people are going to be. And we also have Jason Mewes, who was Jay from Jay and Silent Bob.
Hey.
From the Kevin Smith movies. He's coming along.
He's the blonde one, isn't he? He's the blonde one.
He's the blonde, tall, foul-mouthed one. So it looks good. And so because of that, we decided that as we said, summer is being taken over by geek properties, by things that you would think, oh, this is, it used to be a time when only geeks cared about this stuff, but now everybody cares about this stuff. So to this week, we're going to be talking about the films that have been released this summer, that especially when it was just released this week, that are pretty much geek properties, that you look at that. So we're going to be talking dinosaurs, we're going to be talking superheroes, we're going to be talking space operas. This is going to be a geektastic show, and we will continue with them after these messages.
Vectis Radio's next monthly coffee morning and open day is on Saturday the 7th of July from 10 a.m. to 12 midday. Come along to the Vectis Radio studio at the Riverside Centre and see behind the scenes and how it all works. Chat to some of the presenters and to each other. Much better than shopping. Enjoy a cuppa and some biscuits, but all we ask is for a minimum £1 donation to keep your community radio station running. See you there.
This is Vectis Radio, the Isle of Wight's local community station. Vectis Radio was set up on the 23rd of January 2010 and has been running successfully ever since. We are a community radio station which promotes local businesses, events, charities and more, whilst also giving opportunities for people of all ages to broadcast live radio. For more information, call 01983 527 733.
Squire's Barbershop are the longest serving barbers in Pyle Street. Open from 8:30 till 6:30 Monday to Thursday and until 7 p.m. on Friday. Saturdays is an early start from 8 till 5. We now have a weekday family special, so you can save yourself pounds. Go and see Jay the Lardy Barber. He's back and ready to cut and style your hair. For a quality focused barbershop serving the local community, it has to be Squire's Barbershop, 68 Pyle Street, Newport. Get in, get trimmed, and go.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
Hello, and welcome back to Vectis Movies. Now, before the break, we told you about how we were going to be delving into the lovely geekdom of this summer. So, in honor of Island Kong 2018, which I think I would recommend people go along to, because if this thing grows any bigger, then it might get very much like you were mentioning in America, or the bigger Comic Cons, where you have to pay to get in there and just soak up the atmosphere. You have to pay for everything. I know already you have to pay to get a signature or a selfie with one of the stars, because quite frankly, that's how the stars make their money out of this thing. It's like they have an appearance fee, but then they also get like half of whatever. I think they have an appearance fee, then they get whatever they get from their signatures, they keep. So apparently, when Manu Bennett came last year, that he cleaned up on the signatures and he probably made somewhere in the region of £3,000.
Yeah. I think they get like a retainer.
Yeah.
But I think it, depending on how much money they get, you know, the retainer, whatever it is. So the money they do get comes off the retainer.
Yeah.
That's how I think it works from what John was explaining.
So, but still, I mean, it's something I'm hopefully going to be filming and making some stuff from it for that. But anyway, now we
movies.
Said movies. Let's get onto the movie. Let's go into the Island Corn specific geekdom of movies. And the first film we're going to be talking about today is Dinosaur movie. Remember the time when, like, you know, even think back to like early 90s and think about Friends. And the joke was always that Ross was uncool because he was the one who was into dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And now we have, then Jurassic Park came along, and now Jurassic Park is back and dinosaurs are back in a big way. So we're talking about Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. And I believe I have seen this, and Sean, you have
I've seen this, yes.
Yeah,
and I was unable to see it because of a prior engagement. So I'm going to see it soon.
You're going to see it soon. All right, cool. So Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, this is the fifth Jurassic Park, whatever, Jurassic movie, and it's the direct sequel to Jurassic World, which was done a couple of years back, brought the whole Jurassic Park thing back in a big way, in a quite a fun way as well. Ended up being the biggest film of that year, if I remember correctly. And I'm going to hand over to Sean, first of all, to say, what did you think of this?
Okay, what did I think of this? Okay, I went in, you know me, and I mean, I decided at the start that I was going to be very forgiving for this film, for any for any plot holes or any, and I decided, right, I'm just going to enjoy this. I'm not going to go in, and I'm not going to criticise it or look for faults. I'm just going to sit and enjoy it. And I have to say, I did really, really enjoy it. And yeah, it has got a lot of plot holes if I wanted to go into them, but yep. I sort of ignored them. And I think what, to me, there was a young lad in there with his parents, maybe about seven. And
oh, watching the film.
Watching the film.
Okay.
And he was just so excited. He was just like, and he, like, when the certain bad guys get on that, he was going, yes! And thing, and he was really, and normally that would, like, that would bother me in a movie. Yeah. And I just thought, he is really enjoying this. And he was sort of sat up sometimes and clinging on to the seat in front and all that. And I thought, this
that's
must
what
be.
You want to, that's what it's for, isn't it?
That's what's
in some
really,
ways.
You know, this film is really, really going to have an impact on that.
He's going to remember this is probably the first film he saw the pictures or something.
And he probably, and he's like, what? Because he was total in wonder and like, whoa, whoa. And so yeah, I really enjoyed it. What I liked about it as well was the bad guy in it. The bad guy was really, I really, really disliked him from the very, very first moment. And he was like, yeah, we know who you're going to be.
It's essentially, he shows up and you're like, okay,
we know where this is going.
We know exactly what you're doing.
And I actually thought another guy was going to be a bad guy, but he actually wasn't. But anyway, so yeah. And it's great, isn't it? It's like there's lots and lots of different dinosaurs and it's all, they're all crashing around, lots of action, lots of suspense. Yeah, so if you ignore all the plot holes and all the silly things that why didn't they do that and why did he do this? Because they were in the back of my mind and I thought, oh, wow, what the hell? Let's just enjoy this.
Just enjoy it. You know there's going to be running at some point.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be screaming at some point and there's going to be dinosaurs. So you've got the trio of perfection for a dinosaur film.
To be honest with you, right, I think I was watching this film and I was like, I think I'm going to swap brains with Sean because all the plot holes that were in the back of your mind were at the forefront of mine.
Isn't that funny?
I was watching the film and first things first, I did not enjoy it as much as I enjoyed Jurassic World.
Okay.
I felt like Jurassic World was a lot more joyful, easily, and they were kind of issues because remember when they
lots of issues.
Lots of issues with one. I'm like, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. Why the heck would you do that? Wait a second, why is it that all of, like, a massive dinosaur is coming up and you hear then all of a sudden you come out, then all of a sudden the dinosaur appears out of nowhere with no sound being made.
So it managed to sneak up on you.
Yeah, hey. It's like, yeah, but this is like a dinosaur that's the size of a building. How does a dinosaur the size of a
how
building
does he learn how to
sneak
tip-toe
up on you?
I know what you mean. Probably from the opening, but, you know, and it's like, you would do certain things. Why aren't you doing that? You know, what the hell are you doing there?
You know,
you can hear all this stuff, and it's just like, oh,
yes,
let's hang around. Yeah, day of man, I'd be gone.
Yeah, and I know there's just things that I just couldn't let go in the film. And the thing is, this is a different director to the guy who directed the last film, and I think even in all they've been talking about how the film is in different bits. So the main plot of the film is that the volcano that was on the island where they built Jurassic World is now active, and you have So there's this whole thing going on in the world. People are going, oh my God, let's save all the dinosaurs. And people are like, no, the dinosaurs got wiped out before. Let's let them be wiped out again. Yeah. And somebody, and other people are like, no, we've got to go save them. And Claire, who's played by Bryce Dallas Howard, who was the head of Jurassic World in the last film, has now had this 180-degree turn and is now a dinosaur rights activist and is trying to lobby people to save all the dinosaurs. And so the government decide, no, this is a private enterprise. We do not have any responsibility to save the dinosaurs. So she has to go into a private sector, and then someone who has all this money and says, yeah, we need to go in there, but we want to save 11 species, but we want to save the Velociraptor that was trained by Chris Pratt's character Owen in the last film to follow orders. And they were like, yeah, we want to save that one. And that's already like, you know, that's a red flag. Why are they trying to save a dinosaur that can follow orders? What do they want to do with this? And the whole idea is that they have a new island somewhere that they're going to put the dinosaurs and leave the dinosaurs alone. And this, at this point, it comes with my first problem. I do not like it. I don't like it in franchises where you've had the story so far, and then all of a sudden, they introduce a new character and they go, oh, no, he's been here all along. Ooh, he's been in the background behind everything, right from the word go. And I'm like, why? Okay, so we've had four films. If he's been here all along, why is this the first we're hearing about that guy? So they introduce this guy played by James Cromwell, whose performance I really don't like in this film. So I'm like, it's like played by James Cromwell, who is supposed to have been John Hammond, who was the character played by Richard Attenborough in Jurassic Park. And he was supposed to be his business partner right from the word go. And it was the one who helped him splice the first DNA from the first dinosaur. And I'm like, wait.
Hang on a minute.
And yeah, and for me,
we thought we knew about the history of Jurassic Park.
For me, that's a flag. When you introduce a character out of nowhere, or you try and retcon his story into the back thing and say he was there the whole time, I already start getting worried. And I'm like, I don't really think this works. Why are you doing this? It feels like lazy storytelling. All these things are coming up. Rafe Spall shows up as like, you know, a corporate type.
No, I can understand. And if I hadn't had my cynical head on, I could have destroyed this movie.
Yeah.
I could have totally destroyed this movie on about, well, numerous counts, you know. Absolutely loads of why? No way, they wouldn't do this, wouldn't happen.
And I think even from a story perspective, it has a similar problem to what Jurassic Park The Lost World had compared to Jurassic Park. Because Jurassic Park was wonderful, it was joyful, it was this thrill ride, and then it has like a nice little sort of like good ending. But then you come back and you're like, oh, we've got to start it all up again. We've got to start this engine up again to tell a whole new story. Why would they go back to the island? And you have to come up with all these reasons. And the first part of this film, I think, is really slow. I think it's really slow because they're trying to kickstart this engine. They're trying to sort of like, you know, almost, you can almost feel like a hand crank going like, trying to start up this engine to get the story going again. I don't really think all of it works. There is, although having said that, and I feel like the director, this new director, he's more, there's a certain bit in the film where I think there's a first act of the film. And the second act of the film comes the bit where I think he was really interested in. Because this is J.A. Bayona, who directed The Impossible. He directed A Monster Calls. So the films that he's been made is really when you come to like the interpersonal things. And you can feel, I think the bits where it starts talking about the relationship that Owen, Chris Pratt's character, has with Blue, the lead Velociraptor. And there's this sequence that I love where they're cutting in between a girl watching a video about Owen training the Velociraptors as they're leaving the island. And that sequence is amazing. I'm like, okay, this is such a good sequence. There is one, and there's beautiful shots. There's a shot, oh my God. There's a shot involving, Sean, you should know what I'm talking about. There's a shot involving a Brachiosaurus and fire. It is so beautiful. It is like heart-rendingly beautiful. It's like almost the film in one shot. And if the rest of the film had lived up to that one shot, it would have been an amazing film. But unfortunately, it doesn't. And so you have all these things that keep happening. And even within the world of the film, you're thinking, hang on, have you not read the history of what happened at the original Jurassic Park? Have you not read the history of what happened a couple of years ago at Jurassic World? And there's problems with me. And one of the big problems I have with this is pterodactyls. pterodactyls. Why do they stay on the island? Yeah. That's a big question I have. I'm like, pterodactyls, you haven't... Why? How do you keep... And so I feel like there's a lot of interesting ideas in this film. There's a lot of interesting ideas, and it tries to move it into a more adult way. And I kind of like what they do at the end, and I think they leave the world in an interesting place at the end of the film. There's interesting ideas, but I don't feel like the film is told in an interesting way.
Mm. So that's it. There's loads there. Actually, show a friend of mine, he said, because he went to see it, and he said, "Oh, I thought you were going to hate this film." He said, and there's one scene where, should we say, to do with teeth, which he said, "It's Planet of the Apes all over again." I thought I was going to hate it, but as I say, there is. Tozen, I totally agree with you. It is. Yeah. There's just so much in this that I could.
I feel there's an "and yet" in your voice, though, Sean. Yet. But "and yet" it's still enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, I think. Do you know what I think it was? I think it was, and I know it goes back to this: that young lad with his parents getting really, really excited.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is going to have a big impact on him.
For
people like
wonder,
us, you know, and I just thought, and that was what it was. And I was always thinking, I could imagine myself as maybe a 7-8 year old going to see a movie like that, and it's just got so that probably helped a bit. I think I probably could pick up on that vibe.
Yeah,
I can see that. But I feel like the original Jurassic Park had that kind of effect. But it's a film I will still watch today and still be like, yes, that makes sense, that follows on. It's like, oh, you can see the human motivation. I feel like this has bits where it gives you human motivation, but then it goes on and it just executes it in quite a dumb way. I think there's bits where I'm just like,
I agree with you. Totally toes, and I can actually see what you, and if I'd have had my bad head on, that would have been destroyed. I would have destroyed that.
Yeah, well, my problem was, as I was watching it, I just wasn't really enjoying it. There were bits I was predicting would happen before it happened.
It was very predictable.
And I've seen a review about this that says, "Oh yeah, you can't really tell." I was like, "No, yeah, you can tell exactly what's going to happen." Although there are some new dinosaurs that it introduces that I like, and there's one I'll call it the headbutty dinosaur.
Yeah,
the headbutty dinosaur.
There's a few of them at Black Gang. Yeah. You can see them at Black Gang. A couple of them.
The headbutty dinosaur is fun, and they.
Ankylosaurus, did you like that one?
Ankylosaurus.
That's the little short tanky one.
Oh, the tank. Oh, yeah, that's a good looking dinosaur.
Yeah, that
is a good looking dinosaur. There is, and they, what was it? There was something else I was going to say. But okay, there's some good bits in the film. There's good bits in the film that kind of goes well. I feel like there's bits that are just kind of like, oh, I've got to move this, the second half of the film, it goes into a bit almost like a haunted house type film and all that, which is, it's good, it's different, but the way in which it's done, and there are some certain Jurassic Park tropes that I think are beginning to get a bit tired.
Yeah.
I think they're beginning to get a bit tired. It's like...
So like the shadow, the one you think it's not real and then it moves and you think, oh, it's real. Oh, that sort of thing?
No, that one, I think that one's actually done quite well. The bit in this film is done quite well. But it's things like, essentially, it's the climax of the movie. The heroes are standing there. Oh my God, they're facing a terrible foe. How are they going to get out of this one? All hope is lost. And then...
Another dinosaur comes along and chews someone. Or something.
I'm not saying that. If you haven't watched the film, go watch the film and see what it is about. But all I'm saying is that in those sort of things, there's some certain tropes that are coming, that keep coming up in Jurassic Park movies, which I am beginning to get tired of.
That'd be good when you go and see it, because you've got two ideas here. So
I'll be left in the middle thinking,
this is what's good when one person's seen it.
I know there's going to be running. I know there's going to be screaming. I know there's going to be probably people being eaten by a dinosaur at some point.
Yep.
So, you know, if those three are like tick, 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 hey, I'm happy.
Yeah, I would give it a 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5 is good.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you on a 3 out of 5.
I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It's just, I think that there's good stuff in there. There's interesting ideas in there.
Yeah.
They are just not executed quite right.
It's absolutely stupid in certain parts.
It's so stupid in certain parts.
It really is. It's really, kind of, really ridiculous. It's like,
there's just a logic that doesn't. You keep having, because they're trying to go for this real world thing. And one of the things I loved about Jurassic World was it was the real world thinking behind it. It's because people were saying, oh, for goodness sake, if Jurassic Park failed and all the dinosaurs went around and people got killed, why would you still open Jurassic World? But I actually thought, no, that makes sense. Because they would go, all right, cool, we've learned our lessons, we've seen what went wrong, and now we're going to, we've done this whole thing, these are the, we've done the review, we've done the inquiry, this is what went wrong with the last one, and this is what we're going to fix, and it's not going to happen again.
I mean, they do that with real amusement parks and things anyway, so something happens, and then they say, right, we'll do it, but they stay open, don't they?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, Alton Towers, people died on a ride a while back. They said, we've done the review, we figured out what the problem was, they've opened it up again. And I would still go there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I know that if they'd said that was, I would still go to a Jurassic World. So I thought real world fine. Oh, but because they've lent into that real world thing and the real world motivations for all these characters and the real world consequences of different things that would happen, there's problems. I'm like, okay, fine. If you're leaning into the real world thing, why that?
Yeah.
Why that? How does that happen? And for me, pterodactyls, that is still a big, massive question. Pterodactyls. You haven't explained what... pterodactyls! How do you keep them on the island?
How do you give them a homing instinct for one place in the whole planet when there's probably food and...
Exactly.
And...
Exactly.
Roosting and, places and all over the place.
At the beginning, there's a bit where they go, like, you know, where they go somewhere, they open up some gates and they're going underwater and all, and they're like, don't worry, there's nothing that can be alive down here. I'm like, based on what?
That's right, they don't even know, they didn't scout it, they didn't do anything.
Based on what? Is nobody going to be alive?
Because in the original Jurassic Park, they all had to give in this drug, didn't they? That they were made dependent upon a drug, and if they didn't get it within so much time, they all died.
They were also, they couldn't reproduce.
Yeah, and they had all these safety measures, but they forgot.
Interesting, because, you know, like, obviously, DNA. What was the one called in the last film? The
Indominus Rex.
Indominus Rex.
So they get the bit of bone. And I was listening, 4:30 today, on Radio 4, there was a documentary, and it was about they auctioning off, like, huge, and there's, like, in Mongolia, there's people that, you know, black market, get bits of dinosaurs and sell them, because there was this auction in Paris, an Eiffel Tower, of a dinosaur skeleton, which apparently these English people, and it was scientists talking and saying, we shouldn't really do this. You know, they should be all be in the public domain, because there's lots of people that have got private... bones of dinosaurs. Yeah. So, I mean, and it made me think, it's really worth, if it's on Catch Up or something, it'd be worth listening about, because it makes you think, well, if they got a dinosaur and they can somehow get the DNA, you know, who knows?
So, if you can clone a sheep.
Yeah, it was on at 4:30.
If you can clone cats, if you can clone dogs, it's kind of like...
It's doable. It was potentially.
Yeah, so it probably was. You know, it was a science programme, and just saying about these, you know, the paleontologists saying that, you know, that shouldn't have been auctioned off to a private people. We should be in the public domain.
And there's even bits about that sort of skirt around those issues in Jurassic World.
Jurassic World,
Fallen Kingdom. There's even bits that skirt around those issues. But it's just the
film itself.
It's just
Well, 3 stars is okay.
Three stars is okay. Yeah. It's okay. But for a Jurassic Park film, you want more.
Yeah. But kids will love it.
Yeah, kids will love it. Kids will love it. But in 20 years' time, I think they'll watch it back and they'll just go watch the original Jurassic Park. Or Jurassic World.
Or Jurassic World.
Yeah, so because I do think that is a better film. That's a better thrill ride. Upon what everybody says about the film, it being sexist and all that kind of stuff. And they do try and redress this round in this film. They give Bryce Dallas Howard sensible shoes to walk around in. They give her more to do. There is one sequence that I actually really, really love that involves a sleeping T-Rex. And I really wish they hadn't put that in the trailer.
I didn't. In this, she's a totally changed character, isn't she?
She's like a totally different person.
She's to me, she seemed really sort of weak and insipid in this. To me, she didn't seem like. Whereas in the previous movie, she was quite a strong character.
She was quite take charge.
In this one, she's totally the opposite.
It's like they've taken away all the power suits. They've taken away the money that she had, because she was in charge of something in the other one. In this one, she's more like, she's almost like a Jane Goodall character. But yeah, that's pretty much what she is. But and the change doesn't. I was like,
it doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't work. Doesn't really work.
Because I think she would still have a bit of feistiness about her. And I
think she would still have a bit of that business, hard nosed businesswoman about her.
For sure, yeah.
And that's just totally gone.
Yeah, totally.
It's just totally gone.
No, so, They're talking more and more. It's making me think, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, sorry, Sean.
No, that's okay. No, it's cool, because I would do it with the film, generally speaking. I'm so actually, it's nice to...
I can't believe we have one where I'm out-Seaning Sean. I am out-Seaning Sean and ripping a film apart, which I was hoping would be good, but I was hoping. Anyway, we're going to have some adverts, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the other films that are big and geek focused and Island Corn style focused in the cinemas this week.
Island Valentine is the Isle of Wight's most recommended mobile service. Check out their reviews on Yale.com. Car valets from just £30. Call Keith or Darren on 0476 408 339. Or check online for Island Valentine at Yale.com, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram for photographs and customer reviews. Island Valentine, a perfect job every time.
The Isle of Wight Kidney Patient Association is here to help all renal patients on the island. We also offer support to the local dialysis unit. We can help with financial backup for patients and partners, with travel expenses for a hospital treatment. We also have a program of social events and activities, as well as fundraising that links the community together. Call us on 01983 611 671 or visit our website on iowkidneypatientassociation.com.
ICEC in Freshwater, the catering equipment company. We service, repair, refurbish and sell catering equipment. We can also purchase equipment if required, whether it's part exchange or brand new. We also deliver. To find out how we can help with your catering equipment needs, call us on 01983 756 628 or check out our website www.icec1.co.uk.
Hi, it's the Rockmeister here. I went to see the management earlier today and said, look, I'm so popular now that I need another night for the rock show. Says the management, not sure about that. No, I am that popular. Okay, says the management, you can have Wednesday. Oh, great. That's just what needed. Another night, Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday. No, says the management, you can have Wednesday, but not Tuesday. Oh, that didn't work out very well, did it? The Wednesday Rock Show, now 7 through to 10.
Broadcasting to you from the Riverside Centre in Newport. This is your Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Yes, he'll be here there with the love that will shelter you, and we are here with the films that will entertain you, I believe we can say. So, we're going through all the other geek-friendly movies that have been at the cinema this summer, because, as we know, geeks rule the summer nowadays. Everybody else is gone mainstream. People are trying to... So you have like all the geeks who are like, no, I was there when it was still unfashionable. Nah. So... we're going to kick off first with a film that we spoke about the last time we were here. Yes. I was the only one who'd seen
You'd
it at
seen
that point.
You'd seen it at the midnight...
midnight showing.
No, I didn't actually go for the midnight showing.
You didn't?
Yeah, because this was a film that I wasn't scared of anybody giving me any spoilers for, because I was pretty sure that it was not as anticipated as the other movies that I've gone to midnight showings for, such as The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi or Avengers Infinity War. But this was Solo, A Star Wars Story,
yes,
which, as I said 2 weeks ago, is the least anticipated Star Wars movie of all time.
And so, because it's the less anticipated, I think it's much more enjoyable for all that. And the fact that we didn't know much about it. I mean... to me, it came out of nowhere. I mean, yeah. I didn't. We talked about last time, didn't we? The problems in the production, the change of director, the change of direction, and all these different things that were going on. So that why it had less of a build up than we expect from a Star Wars film.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I thought the, in some ways the lack of build up meant that you went in completely open to what it was going to tell you.
And what did you think?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
My only quibble, and it's not with the film, is that when I went to see it at the cinema, we all of us in there complained that it was just really dark and you couldn't see what was going on half the time.
Mm.
And we think that was the problem, was we don't think they dimmed the lights enough in the actual
cinema.
Yeah, well, it's funny.
Because we sat there and you could have read a book by the light you had.
It's funny you should say that, because I went to see the 2001 on Sunday. I went to see the
anniversary.
Yeah,
and the lights were on. The lights didn't go down. And there was actually one of the ones who works at the cinema had actually seen it, and he went out and told them, and they turned him down.
Yeah.
So, and then they had an intermission in the film like they used to, and in the intermission, when the film started again after the intermission, the light stayed on. So he went out again. You could see him walk out and go round, and then he came back in, and off they went. So perhaps that was...
That might have been a problem, because all of us were saying there's some scenes, I'm not giving them away, but there are some scenes in the film that you want to see the characters, and you want to see, and we couldn't work out who they were.
That's probably what happened. The dimmers didn't work.
So, and we all said the same thing. So that did hamper the enjoyment of it sometimes, because you're looking at it, and I was thinking, I can't work out who's who there.
Okay, so...
I couldn't see what was going on, but I actually enjoyed the plot.
Okay, cool, yeah. So the shortcoming of staff at a cinema that will not be named, yes, in the world, aside, what did you think?
For me, yeah, I enjoyed this movie. Yeah. I thought it was it could have been like a standalone movie. Well, it is a standalone movie, isn't it, in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And it gave me this thought that, like, with The Force Awakens, not The Force Awakens, with The Last Jedi,
mm-hmm.
that's aimed towards a much, you know, we're talking about, when we talk about that, that's aimed
audience.
Towards a much younger audience, I think, because I hated that, and so did a few other people. I really didn't like that. And this, I was mildly surprised at, and I did actually enjoy this movie. I did think this was a good movie. Didn't like Woody Harrelson so much, but yeah. I don't think he's done anything good ever. I don't really like him in anything.
Three Billboards.
Oh yeah, Three Billboards. That's the best. That's the best he's done. But everything else, whether it's the Hunger Games or you know, whatever he's been in, Zombieland. I didn't really like him in that either. But apart from that, it was really good. And I thought the Solo character was played really, really well.
Yeah, by Alden Ehrenreich.
So I think that the films that are made standalone are probably made more for my generation
who appreciate the original,
whereas the new ones, they're going towards trying to grab a whole new
generation
because it's all the Disney cutesy stuff, you know, so which they can get a lot of merchandise from.
Yeah, I mean, there are no new creatures in this, were there? I don't remember any new creatures.
There was a creature that's voiced by Jon Favreau, who's the original pilot when they go on the heist.
Oh, yes, I mean, I didn't think of him as being like a cutesy, weirdy thing.
Go on. I was going to say, you said cutesy stuff. The Last Jedi has more death and killing in it than any other Star Wars movie.
But I mean, look at those little. Sorry, we'll get into that.
But I think you might be right. Because essentially, when you look at the films that the standalone movies have made, they're all going back to that period, and they're all set within that period. So we've had Rogue One, we've had the Solo Star Wars story. The next one that they said they're going to do is Boba Fett, with the director of Logan. Personally, I don't like that, because I'm like, why are you going back and why are you raking over all this stuff? Because I really liked Solo. I thought it was a very good film.
Yeah, I enjoyed Solo.
It felt like a 70s heist movie with Star Wars trimmings. I thought, like, the same way Rogue One was like a World War II heist movie with Star Wars trimmings. And I really liked that. But I just didn't feel like Solo was essential. Like, I didn't feel like you would watch it and you'd be like, yeah, that was good. That was good fun. But there wasn't anything that would make you go out there and tell somebody else, dude, go watch that film.
Good point.
And that's the thing for me. That's why I was like, this is going to be the lowest grossing Star Wars movie ever. And it's turning out that's the way. And it's just because I think a lot of the things they've, you know, oh, how dare you touch Harrison Ford's legacy? As you said, I think he does really, really well.
He does
really well playing Solo. So there's another problem. I just feel it's just like the story doesn't feel essential. It doesn't add anything. It doesn't tell you anything you didn't know.
That's it, yeah. But then it's a standalone movie. I mean, it could, like you say, it could be a film and not even be part of the Star Wars universe, really, as far as, you know, that was my thought on it. It was, like you say, a bit of a heist movie, really. Basically, a heist movie with the trimmings. And I really did love, I don't know what the android was called.
Oh, one. L3.
L3.
Played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Is a she.
And I really, really liked that character.
I
really enjoyed that character.
I think it's a good film that I think is going to be, well, not quite destroyed, but a bit ignored because of the storylines behind it, because nobody really wanted a Han Solo movie, nobody was really hankering for it, and the film's come and it's as good as it is, it doesn't tell you anything new.
No. Have you seen any of the take-ins or anything like that, Tozin? Do you ever look at that?
It made money in the first week, but right. then it had a 65% drop-off in the second week.
Right.
Okay. Yes, that means it's like a lack of word of mouth, isn't it, normally?
Yeah. Lack of, or just negative word of mouth.
Yeah.
So that means that it's just about made back the money that they spent on it before they did all the marketing.
I tried to keep an eye out for you, but...
Because you were an extra, weren't you, Tosin?
Oh, well, I don't know. The non-disclosure agreement that I signed says I couldn't possibly tell you.
Oh, right.
I couldn't possibly tell you. But if I was on the set of Solo, you would have had to try very, very hard to see, to see any bit of me in the final film.
Right.
So, I'll tell you which bit it was. I'll tell you which bit it was. Okay, so.
Yeah, I was just going to say one thing. Some scenes I really enjoyed. Where he meets Lando, I really liked that scene.
Yeah, that's a good scene.
I did actually like, we talked about cutesy creatures. I did like the creatures that were playing cards, you know, that little three bug-eyed thing.
Yeah.
And I really liked the original pilot that he takes over.
Voiced by John Favreau. I really do like that one. I like that character a lot.
Yeah.
And I like the bit where he meets Chewie for the first time.
First time, yeah.
I really like the bit where Han and Chewie meet each other for the first time.
That was well done, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I think it's a really well done film.
Yeah.
But it's just nothing massively special to make you want to recommend it.
So what did you give it? You gave it 3, did you, or 4?
I think I gave it a 4.
I would give it a 4.
I would go with 4.
Yeah,
I give it a 4. All right, cool. And so, on to the other films. The other two ones are Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2, yeah.
Sharon, you've seen that now.
I have seen it.
So Deadpool 2, and then obviously, if we have any time, we'll talk a little bit about Avengers Infinity War, because that's the big daddy.
Did you see Brad Pitt?
Please strike what Sean said from the record.
But I needed confirmation when the credits came up at the end, let's put it that way. Because I was like, was that? And then I read the credits and thought, oh, it was.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a couple of moments like that where you go, was that who today was that?
There's a lot of cameos in Deadpool 2, and I feel like they're very well done. in Deadpool 2. I think Deadpool 2 is just a fun film. Anyway, Sharon, what did you think?
I did give my review last time, but I think it was an enjoyable boys film.
Yes.
I enjoyed it, but I part of me was just like, yeah, I'm not going to rave over this film because I don't think really I'm the target audience. But it was enjoyable, it was funny, wincy in places because you're thinking, not my sense of humour. And one of the songs, I was going, are they really singing that? And one of my friends at the end was going, did you hear that song? It was brilliant. And I was going, did you hear that song? I thought that was a bit unnecessary. You probably know the song I mean.
I know the one you mean. It has to do with the Juggernaut.
Yes.
They give the Juggernaut a theme song, but the way they do it is just...
Because I was listening going, oh, did I... Am I... What are they singing? And then my friend was going, did you hear that song? It was amazing. It was brilliant. And I was like, oh, we weren't obviously listening to the same song. I thought it was geared to obviously someone who's... would appreciate it probably maybe more than I did, but I will certainly recognise that it's a fun, silly.
Let's call a spade a spade. It's juvenile.
Yes,
it is massively juvenile, but that is the charm of it. That is the attraction of it. Deadpool is massively juvenile.
Yeah, and there were moments of real pathos in it, which I wasn't expecting because you don't expect Deadpool to have a heart, basically. So you do see there are layers, but then immediately he'll say something that goes, okay, that's that. Yeah. They're so sensitive he's not.
I still think of the bit in the X-Men mansion. The bit where he goes to the X-Men, there's one bit in X-Men mansion that...
Yeah, there is a classic.
I think we said about this last time, even
when I think about it now, it still cracks me up. It absolutely cracks me up. But no, it's good.
It is good. And the post credits were the best. I really liked the post credits.
The post credits.
I'm trying to think. I did stay and watch the post credits.
The post credits. Essentially, let's put it this way. One of them has to do with Wolverine.
Yes.
And the other one has to do with somebody reading a script.
If I'm trying to remember.
It's the look on the face.
We'll tell you.
I do remember the Wolverine one, yeah.
We'll tell you. Okay, we'll refresh your memory afterwards. And of course, Avengers Infinity War. Sean, which you've seen now, what, 4 times?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Four times.
Four and a half times because I had an hour to kill, so I went in and watched the first bit, which is having an unlimited card is quite handy.
Cause yeah.
And then when I needed to be where I needed to be,
you
I
just got up and left.
Which was quite cool.
It's all right, because yeah. you sit near the front, don't you? Yeah. It's not a problem.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah, and still good?
Still good, yeah. Still enjoyed it, yeah. Really good. Really, really good movie. Really yeah. enjoyed it. Probably, I think as you see it more and more, you actually see more things because you look.
You look, you know, away from I see the central characters.
I don't follow, you know, I look in all the corners and yeah. see what stuff's going on. Which, and there's quite often in these movies, there's quite a lot going on, which happens in a lot of the Star Wars films, actually. If you actually yeah. use your peripheral vision and look around, there's all sorts of things going on in the sky and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a good movie.
So, all right, that brings to the end our Comic Con or Island Con special film review. We will see you guys next week when we'll be talking about, I do not know, because I don't know what's going to be released. But I'm sure it will be something good. Until
Hereditary?
Maybe. Until then, enjoy it, and we'll see you guys later. Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.